John chapter 3, our text is one verse, verse 16. John 3, 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We always need to remember two things about the Word of God. Two things. The first one is this. All of the Scriptures from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 are in perfect agreement with each other. That's the first thing. All of them. They were all written by the same person, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This was all written by the Spirit of God, every bit of it. God just used men to pen it. That's it. All right, now the second thing that we need to remember is this. I change. There are things I thought 10 years ago that I may or may not think now. I change. But the Lord Jesus Christ changes not. He said, "I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." The things He thought before the foundation of the world are the exact same things He thinks today. And they're going to be the exact same thing He thinks 100 million years from now. Exactly. He is not going to change. Do you know how comforting it is to know people and interact with people who don't change? You know, you can just always count on them. They're just kind of always the same way. Well, the Lord will not change. Never. The Scriptures He wrote do not contradict themselves, and they will never change. Never. Now just listen to some of this. We're going to turn a little bit this morning, and the reason is because it's John 3:16. You know, everybody holds to John 3:16. So we're going to turn. But listen to a few Scriptures. He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And then in John 6, He said, "No man can come." Was He contradicting Himself? No. All right, in Revelation 22, He said, "Whosoever will." And then in John 5, He said, "You will not." The problem is not with God. It's with man. That's the problem. All right, now first I want us to see John 3:16 in context with all of the Scripture. And then I want us to see John 3:16. That was written to us. All right? So it says in verse 16, "For God so loved." Loved. He said in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. All right, and many people take that by itself and they believe God loves everybody. God is love. He loves everybody. Well, to be true to our God, He didn't love Esau, did He? just because of that one man, just that one man, it would be lying on God to say that He loves everybody. It's not true. He didn't love Esau. All right, now turn with me to Malachi chapter 1, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness, whereas Edom," that's Esau, that's his people, that's his nation, his land, "Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever." The whole people. That word indignation means enraged. It means to abhor. The whole people. All right, now turn over to Psalm 5. Psalm chapter 5. Verse 4 says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." He's pretty clear on that, isn't he? He's pretty clear. Now don't turn, just listen to this one. Psalm 45 verses 6 and 7 say this, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness." Hatest. Proverbs 6 verses 16 to 19. It says this, "These six things does the Lord hate." That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Let's just go ahead and list them. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Number 7 is an abomination unto Him." All right, here they are. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And here's number 7. He that soweth discord among brethren. Oh, man. That one got me. That one got me. Hates it. He hates it. All right, now just listen to two more. Just listen to them. Amos chapter 5 says this. Verse 21, it says, "I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies." I won't smell. "Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows." I'm not even going to listen to your songs. I hate it all. I hate it all. Everything you have to offer me, all of your works, I hate it all. Hate it all. One more. Zechariah 8, verse 17, he said, Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Don't let anybody, I don't care where you are or who they are, don't let anybody ignorantly tell you God doesn't hate. Let's read His Word. You know, we turn to a lot of Scriptures because it proves it in the Word. He says throughout this whole book, this is what I hate. This is who I hate. And I tell you who that is. It's everybody outside of Jesus Christ. That's who it is. I don't want to be outside of Christ. Do you? I don't. Come the end of all this. You know, here I stand. Here we are. Come the end of all this, I just don't want to be outside of Christ. I don't care what I've done, what I've not done. I just don't want to be found outside of Jesus Christ. Just put me in Christ and I'll be okay. I don't want to be under the wrath of God. All right, now go back with me to our text. John chapter 3. The first thing people say out of context is God loves everybody. John 3:16, God loves everybody. That's out of context. All right, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The second people believe and they say out of context is Christ died for everybody. God loves everybody, and Christ died for everybody. The world. Now, I want us to look at two runs of Scripture. I told you we're going to look at a little bit of Scripture. And I want us to look at them back to back to see what the Word has to say about this in context with itself. All right? Now, you can turn to them or you don't have to. Totally up to you. I'll call them out. Here's the first one. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. This is the vital difference. You know, what we're looking at right here, this is the vital difference. In Matthew 4, verse 17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what He preached. That's what He told every person He preached to. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? Now here's the second Scripture. It's 2 Peter 3, verse 9. This is what it says. Second Peter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He preached repent to everybody. And it says right there, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. Christ died for everybody. No. All right, here's the next one. It's Revelation chapter 2. Verse 20, Revelation 2, verse 20 says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." I gave her space to repent. That's what the Lord said. And she repented not. Again, the problem is not with God. It's with man. He told everybody, repent. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what it says. He gave her space, but she repented not. All right, now listen to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 says this. This is verse 4. "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." God has to lead a sinner to repentance. The commandment is repent. We can't keep it. We won't keep it. God must lead a sinner to repentance. If He wanted all to repent, He would have led all to repentance. The key back in 2 Peter 3 is the word "us" word. Usward. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All right, now listen to this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 says, "They went out from us, for they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us." You see that? Usward. Those whom God has led to repentance. Are us better than they? No. No. It's just God who shows mercy on whom He will. That's it. Now I want to give you one more short run and then we're done. Okay? One more very, very, very short run. Because the reason why I'm doing this is because we have a lot of questions. How do you answer John 3:16? Somebody comes up to you and says, "Well, John 3:16 says this." How do you answer that? All right, now we just read 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. It says this, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." 1 John 2, 2. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All right, now I have a reference right there. I've got a margin in my Bible, and I have a reference to John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, verses 51 and 52 says this, "This spake He not of Himself," that's talking about a man named Caiaphas, "This spake He not of Himself, but being high priest that year, He prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation," the nation of Israel, the nation of the Jews, "and not for that nation only, but that also He should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. That's what it says. Scattered. A little here and a little there. The children of God. He told some, you're of your father the devil. That's who your father is. God is not your father. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You don't, because God is not your father. Abraham was. Right? Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And he said in John 17, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So we see John 3:16 in the context of Scripture, don't we? We have to take all of the Scriptures collectively to see what does he mean, for God so loved the world. Right? We see that. Okay, now, to us who believe, let's enjoy John 3:16 together, okay? Some of these scriptures that religion holds to, we can almost kind of want to, well, let's, you know, John 3:16 is, I love John 3:16. I love it. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. God is love. God is love. An eternity with Him is going to be an eternity in love. Love. Isn't that wonderful? God is love. God is not hate. He's not. He hates everything that is not love. He hates everything outside of God. But God loves love. He loves it. Our text, John 3:16, says, for God so loved. That word so means we will never be able to measure it. Never. We'll never understand the magnitude of it. Never. You know, we love lots of things. We love lots of things. But when your heart is in love, you know the difference. You remember when you dated some people and you thought you were in love until love came? There's a difference. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. I'm miserable. Why? I'm in love. It just hurts. In a good way. It's all consuming. The whole time you're at work, what are you thinking about? It's all you want. It's all you want. Everything I thought was important to me, I drop it and move. I'll live in a cardboard box if I have to. Just give me her. Well, the Lord God has professed His love to us in the only way that we can fathom it. For God so loved. Can you imagine that? Even though I cannot fathom it, I enjoy just trying to think about how much He loves me. Do you ever just try to think about it? I wonder if I could get a hold of just how much He loves me. It says right here in verse 16, for God so loved loved. Our God has no beginning. No beginning. I just can't fathom that. You know, you think, well, I can't put a date on it, but it just kind of fades out into black. No, I mean, that it. You cannot. You can't fathom it. No beginning. And I don't know how long it was from never, ever, 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 never beginning until the time that He made the earth. I don't know how long that was. And I don't know exactly how long it was from the time He said, "Let there be light," till the time He made man. But I do know that He has loved me with an everlasting love. I know that. He loved me eternally, way before the foundation of the world. If I belong to Him, He has never not known me, and He's never not loved me. Never. Now listen to this. He did not send His Son in order to love me. He sent His Son because He loved me. Turn with me over to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians says, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ. Our text says, for God so loved the world. This world. Fallen man. The angels fell. He didn't love them. He didn't redeem them. The angels. His angels that were already in glory with Him. They fell. He didn't love them. He loved the world. And His mercy and His goodness and love has been extended not only to the Jews. Up until the time He came, it was the Jews. They were His chosen people. And Christ came and He said, I've got good news. It's not to the Jews only. It's also to the Greeks. You know what that includes? The rest of the world. That's everybody else. Every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. And now He says, you go tell the good news. Go preach the gospel unto all the world. Verse 16 says in our text, for God so loved the world that He gave. Now, you know, we talk about man by nature. I always say that. Man by nature, right? Well, that is God by nature. That's God by nature. He gave. He gives. True love gives. Now, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Irene loves me. I know you do. And I love you. Because every time I go to her restaurant, when I get there, the salad's already in the spot. All the dressings are out. And the whole time I'm eating, Irene's bringing more food. I'm thinking, you gotta be kidding me. Y'all got enough? Oh, yeah. I think, I might need a box. So she brings a box, and I put it in there, and we're saying, thanks, Irene. We eat for 2 days on that. It gives. And it gives. And it gives. True love gives. How much does love give? All of it. I'll give you all of it. Every bit of it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Son that was always His delight. He gave the most precious thing He had. He gave what was of infinite value. God spared not the highest gift, His only begotten Son. What He actually gave was His other self. That's what He gave. Our Lord said, "I and my Father are one." When He gave His Son, He gave Himself. He gave His all. Just listen to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8 says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his own life for his friend." That's amazing. Amazing love. How can it be? Why would He do that? We know, we say it all the time, everything He does is on purpose. Why would He do that? What was His purpose in that? Our text, John 3:16, says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That was the purpose. All of God's people are not going to perish. They're not. It's not going to happen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, how can you tell who He's done this for? It's not the whole world, right? How can you tell who He's done this for? They believe in Him. They believe in Him. You know, that sounds so simple. All you got to do is believe. Men don't, do they? They could even say they do, but they don't. They don't. Only God's people believe in Him. All who believe in Him are recipients of mercy and grace. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." That's mercy. That's mercy. Not getting what I deserve. That's mercy. But look at this. It says they're going to have everlasting life. Everlasting life. I can't fathom that. I just can't fathom that. Never going to die? Everlasting life? What a benefit of God's love. That's the benefit of God's love. It's the grace of God. The mercy and the grace of God. John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." Isn't that wonderful? Thanks be to God. Well, stand together with me.